There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That, indeed, it is. And our phone number, 855-853-4802, to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can email us your audio file story, and actually, you can send it to me now.
Yeah?
Because I'm doing a little more of the call editing during the day, and Jenny's doing a little more of the story editing during the day. It's like you're much better at words than me.
And you can pick out better ways to take lulls out of calls.
Yeah.
Then I can.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's like playing to strengths.
Yeah.
So you can send your audio files, if you got them, that you record right on your mobile devices to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can even send me scary pictures, and I won't reply back with mean words.
I never did that.
I know. I just got forwarded a whole bunch of, like, why did Jenny say such mean things to me? And
no.
I'm kidding. But you can send this to me, Tony, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get your stories to us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Lots of good calls lined up for today's episode of the program. I do want to share this because this is not an advertisement. This is just something I found the other day when I was goofing off at night and looking at this new apps that exist.
Is this that thing that scared you?
This is that thing that scared me. I don't know what the hell it's called. It's just labeled NT on my iPhone, so I don't know. I don't know. But it's...
Night Terrors.
Oh, Night... Okay, well, there you go. It's an app, and it kind of makes your house into a haunted house, okay? And what it does is you hold it up, and it's like a video camera, but you have to really wear the headphones with it, because that's what really adds to the effect. And it kind of... It makes your phone look like it's almost like a 1993 video camera display.
Mm-hmm.
It has the scan lines on it, but then it takes the rest of your surroundings and it mixes in the audio that's really out there that you're hearing. And then it also adds in other stuff, like a creepy radio in the background or a thunderstorm out the window. And then it adds in effects to your surroundings and it turns your flashlight on.
Now, I have a question for you, Mr. Techno Gadget.
Yeah.
I know you have one of those things that you put on your head for virtual reality.
Oh, yeah, that you put the mobile device into.
Why didn't you do that? Why didn't you put the mobile device in there?
I was thinking of that the other day. I thought that would be a really cool thing if they could do it, but that it's the app is not designed for that. To do that, it needs to have the split screens or it divide, because if you just put this into your smartphone and it's a flat screen, your eyes don't work like that. It has to divide it out into two individual screens, and apps are made for that, but this one is not. But I thought that would be so awesome if they did that to this.
See, I didn't realize that's how that worked. I thought this would just block out you seeing everything other than what your camera saw.
No, I thought that too, but it needs, because your eyes, it's like glasses almost. Uh-huh. It needs its two different lenses, essentially, for it to work correctly.
Okay.
But that would be an awesome thing to do on this.
Yeah.
But anyway... I was walking through the house and I'm like, I'm just going to go try this out. You know, this is, I was just blown away. And I was just really amazed because you're focused on your screen, mm-hmm. especially if you have like the bigger phone. I have like the iPhone, the Plus model. And so you're really focusing on that, not so much your surroundings, but the rest of your surroundings are around you. But when suddenly I walked into our family room, all of a sudden it made it look like lights were shining through the windows.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden these weird noises, and I jumped. And I was like, oh my God. Like,
it takes a lot to scare you.
It really does, but this kind of freaked me out. And it's 11 o'clock at night, and the little ones are sleeping, and I'm like, I don't want to be squealing like a little girl, you know, in the living room when they're trying to sleep. So I'm like, well, I really do want to try this out more. Uh-huh. And I only did it for a little bit longer, but I had to take the headphones out because I was getting too creeped out. I was going to walk down here to the office all in the dark, because that's what it's designed to do. You're supposed to do it in the dark with the flashlight mm-hmm. on. And I went down the stairs, and I got to take the headphones off because if something pops up as I'm going down the stairs, I'm going to tumble. Fall. And I've seen other images from like the app review, and like skeletons pop up at you and other stuff. And
that's your worst nightmare from childhood.
And it's like this could really cause psychological damage if you are really prone to it. Because I could see it being, because it's such a real experience.
Sure.
Because you really think you're just shining your, it plays a total trick on your mind. You know you're playing a game.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind doesn't. Your mind thinks this is happening to you. And it is just awesomely creepy.
I think you can overcome it, though. I mean, it's not any scarier than people that willingly go through haunted houses.
This, to me, felt scarier than a haunted house.
Because you just tell yourself, you know, they can't touch you.
You
they
do
can't.
It. You do it.
No, I'm not going to do it because I don't like having nightmares.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Haunted houses don't scare me. Uh-huh. Like the fake fun ones.
Yeah.
This one, I could see it like actually freaking me out enough before I go to sleep that I'm going to have a nightmare. I mean, it was just so, it's very vivid. I don't know how or why it's different than a video game. Maybe it's your environment and you're in a place you feel safe and calm, but you mix this in. I don't know, mm-hmm. but it was weird, but it really, I don't know, it's cool. Again, it's not an advertisement, it's not an endorsement, anything of the sort. I just thought, we talk about this shit all the time,
right?
So this is something that I thought was really just kind of neat. So anyway,
okay.
you should try it sometime.
No, I'm not going
right before bed something. On a full bladder,
right?
See how that works out for you. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Kelly. Hi.
Hey guys, my name is Kelly, and I'm a first-time listener. I've listened to a few podcasts, but I'm already in love with the show. I love all the stories, so I guess here is mine. I have quite a few, so I might call back with others if you're interested. But it started when I was in fifth grade, I believe, and I was spontaneously just woken up at midnight on the dot. I looked at the clock, saw 12 o'clock, was like, why am I awake? So I sit up, and the way the house is situated, if I sit up in my bed, I can see down the hallway straight to my brother's room, and there's a bookshelf and a bathroom in the middle. And I looked up, and my brother wasn't home, and his door was cracked, and it was dark in his room. And when I sat up and looked down the hallway, I see this maybe 4 foot tall white mist of a figure dart out of his room and go in the bathroom. And I hear the sink turn on, a drawer slam open, and a toilet flush. Now, I was a reasonable kid, and I'm thinking, well, I need to catch this if it's actually happening. And I'm not, you know, sleeping or something. And I get up and go in the bathroom cautiously, and the sink is on, the drawer is open, the items inside the drawer have shifted towards the front of the drawer like it was slammed open, and the toilet water was going down. So me being, you know, obviously freaked out, I went back to my bed and laid down, you know, pulled the sheets over my head, because that's what protects you from ghosts when you're a kid. But I was like, maybe this isn't it, because I felt like I was being watched and maybe I disrupted something. So I put the sheets down over my face and looked back in the hallway, and there was a taller misty figure standing by the bookshelf, and there was no definitive features of this white misty person, I guess, or entity. But I felt it staring at me. And it was kind of uncomfortable in the sense of, you know, this is the first time I'm seeing what I believe as a ghost staring at me, and I didn't know what to make of it. But I ended up falling asleep as if nothing happened. I just somehow ignored it somehow and just went to bed. And I would feel this presence in the house a while after that incident. And I was laying on my parents' bedroom floor playing a game on their TV, and I felt a presence laying next to me, and I could feel a cold hand be placed on my arm, but I wasn't scared. And I got a sense to call this thing Michael. So I called it Michael, and it wasn't an imaginary friend. It was more or less just me acknowledging that there's this presence that I can't see. And I told my mom about the incident, and she just looks at me, and she's like, Kelly, if you speak one more word about this ghost nonsense, we're going to send you to a psychologist, a therapist, whatever. Don't bring it up again. And, you know, obviously that shut my mouth up. But, you know, she's had some ghost stories, you know, from her old home, my grandparents' home. She's had her own stories, but I guess she didn't want to come to terms with the fact there could be something in the house we were currently in. Ever since, I've had friends in that house that, you know, felt some sort of spirit there. Nobody could really gauge if it was bad or good, because it didn't really do anything horrible. Me and my brother can both attest to the fact that we heard creaks of footsteps going up our stairs by our bedrooms like every other night, or, you know, it was frequent enough to where we both can talk about it and understand we both heard these things and we're not insane. But ever since, we've moved out of that house a long time ago, and that is my ghost story with my old childhood home, and the first time I've not seen just one but two ghosts. I hope you guys like the story. If you want to hear more, just let me know, and I have a few more I could call in about. Thank you.
I wonder, honestly, if it was two ghosts or if it was one ghost and it just maybe wasn't in its full self the first time she saw it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because she only really had the sense of one name, and she didn't describe seeing anything else that looked all that different. It was just a smaller mist form and then the larger mist form. And I just maybe wonder if she caught that smaller mist form before it had fully developed.
I could see that. Because I think sometimes it's just a matter of how developed they are,
mm-hmm.
or how well you're able to perceive them at that given time. Where if it looks slightly off, sometimes we assume, oh, it's something different. I think a lot of times it's the same thing.
Right.
And I think that could very well be the case mm-hmm. here with that, especially with her having, you know, almost developed a name for it and a feeling and a similar feeling with this. I could see it being that
mm-hmm.
in this case. So, Kelly, thank you for calling in, and welcome to the show. Glad you found us. And are enjoying the ghost stories. Phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your ghost stories with us. We, of course, would love to hear them. Let's go over to Matthew in Montreal.
Hello, Tony and Jenny and the audience. Matthew here from Montreal. I told you last time the story of my growing up in a haunted house where I was the only sensitive one, with a bunch of ghosts being my first bullies. So, a few years later, I was visiting houses with my mom. She wanted to rent a house instead of an apartment so that we would have more space and it would be more comfortable. This one house had more prospect than the other, more possibilities, because it was well located, the price was just right for my mom, and it was close to my school. It was close to the cemetery, which I was fascinated with. I thought, hey, maybe I can go exploring it more often, because I had been there once before. And so excited, both of us were like, hey, this looks promising. So, and traffic was not heavy in that area, so peaceful at night was another great advantage. But as soon as I got inside the house, I started feeling a bit weak. I thought maybe it was my dinner not agreeing with me or something. I was prone to that, so I just chucked it off to that. My mom went upstairs to explore while the agent was just hanging back, waiting for our questions and stuff. So I actually went to the living room, and the more I approached it, the fainter I felt, the weaker I felt. And then I heard a message in my head. Nothing auditory, I couldn't hear it in my ears, but there was something in my head that said loudly, that screamed at me specifically, "Get out! You're not wanted here!" It was angry. It was so angry that I had to scream. I fell on my knees, because at that point I also started hallucinating. Visually speaking, I saw the floor and the walls, but mostly the floors, doing waves as if a lake suddenly became stormy, and you know, peaks and valleys of the water. And that was happening in front of me, and I had seen that once before, but that was the time when my eyes decided it was suddenly time for me to get glasses. Around the same time, actually. It was like months before that. So it's like it summoned it again. It was like my brain got that recording back, or maybe that thing provoked it in me. But I saw this and I felt so bad that I had to scream, "Mom, help!" So she ran down the stairs and I could just babble. I could just talk quickly. I just said, outside, please. So she actually had to help me walk out the house until we were on the patio in the backyard. I said, "Mom," when I could catch my breath again, I said, "Mom, if you move, you know, remember that house when I was a kid, the ghosts and stuff. This is similar. If you decide to choose this house, I promise, I swear I'm going to move in with Dad." She knew I was dead serious and I wasn't joking, because she had been open-minded about these things now for a few years after moving out of the house. She was actually visiting mediums at that point, I think, probably starting to, as a hobby with some friends. But she was already open to that possibility, so she believed me. And she knew I was dead serious, because my father's wife was a tyrant. And she did everything she could to make my life a living hell when I was there over the weekends. So if I was willingly going to move with them, then the reason for that was dead serious. So she finally, at that point, was open-minded enough to believe me. And we did not rent that house, thankfully. So that was the thing. After years of not feeling much of the paranormal stuff, I mean, some strange, vague feelings, but nothing powerful like that, had happened for a few years. But from that moment on, a few things started happening more. Maybe I became, again, more open to it. I don't know. So around the same time of the year, of that, same time of my teenage years, I forgot to mention I was a teenager at that point, 12, probably. I was hanging out with some friends at, you know, in a neighborhood not too far from that house, actually, but a different one, further, 15 minutes of a bicycle ride away from that house. Anyways, my friend had a powerful computer for the time. It was the 90s at that point, and we were playing video games every weekend, sometimes all night. And I had no curfew. My parents trusted me. So whether I was at my mother's house where I lived permanently or at my father's house during one weekend out of two, I could just come out at any time I wanted, you know, come back, as long as I didn't wake anybody up. So that was great. I understand that was a great privilege, so I did not abuse it. And we would just play video games and sometimes try to make our own. It was fun. It was great. A bunch of geeks in a basement, left alone mostly, snacks, drinks of sodas and stuff. Amazing, amazing times. So one of those nights, I was coming back with a whole bunch of video games to install on my computer. Perfect weather, it was the summertime, not too hot, not too cold. It was actually body temperature, my favorite kind of temperature at night. It was like the night was giving you a hug. I felt particularly happy and grateful for being alive. And telling that to myself at that point, I was like, isn't that a wonderful night? And then seconds later, after thinking that or saying that out loud, because I do speak to myself a lot, I felt a sudden danger of my life being in danger. I felt a threat, like some predator was after me that was going to shred me. Of course, I have a very powerful logical side that's constantly fighting with my emotional and more artistic side. And that logical side was like, please investigate, look around, smell, hear, do something, try to find the source of that threat. there was nothing. The night, according to my regular senses, was just the same as before when I was saying I was so happy. But I knew, and that all happened within 2 or 3 seconds, of course, that whole reflection. I started running for my life. I ran, and I was a chubby kid. If I ran away from a bunch of bullies, I probably would last a minute, and they would catch me and, you know, pummel me to the ground. You know, and that did happen several times, so I knew what that was. But now my life was in danger. I ran for 5 minutes, 6 minutes straight, all the way to the bridge. I didn't stop until I felt safe. And the middle of the bridge is the first time when the switch went off, I was totally safe. The feeling was gone. Now, being curious and interested in those things, I thought to myself, maybe I should investigate. But of course, my more logical side was like, maybe you don't want to risk it. So I went home, still freaked out. The next week, next weekend, I went back to that same guy's place, but I was on a bicycle that time, and I took another street to go there. But on my way back, I thought, you know what? I still have to investigate, because I'll regret it later if I don't. So I actually went back to that spot that the week before I had been almost killed. And yes, I'm 38. All these years later, I'm convinced if I had stuck around there, I would have died. I would have been shredded to bits by some kind of invisible creature. I never could understand that. I call it the roaming threat. I felt something similar 2 more times in my life. Thankfully, both times I was indoors and there was some kind of thing that prevented it from getting inside. So, that threat was pretty much of a shock. Either that same summer or the next one, I was going to the same group of friends, another house, however, a little bit further down in the same neighborhood. And I saw, that's a different story, by the way, I saw a cat coming out from behind a suburban-style house, you know, the kind that so many houses are built the same in the same neighborhood. Well, that was basically the kind of place it was. The cat came out of one of the houses and then stopped in the middle of the front yard and looked at me. And I was, at that point, I was riding my bicycle as slowly as someone walking. Kind of like that. I hear someone walking now. I don't know if you can. But I was just enjoying my evening, early evening, summertime again. So I was just taking my time. I was really early. I had to show up at a specific time at my friend's place. So I would just enjoy myself. And I said hi to the cat, as I usually do to this day. I'm polite to cats and dogs. I just say hi. So I did. And then another cat did the same thing. Came out from behind a bush or something and then stopped in the middle of the front yard. Another front yard. Maybe the neighbor's. Maybe the one in diagonal across the street. But several cats did that in a row within a minute. And then more and more. And when there was about a dozen cats having done that same very thing on each their different yard, and I was still riding my bike, again, about walking speed, or maybe brisk walking speed, it is a bicycle after all, eventually they stood up and started all walking in my direction, while other cats kept appearing from behind other houses and other bushes and other trees. And they were not running after me, they just walked, and I was still riding at the same speed. But eventually, when there was about 2 dozen cats, I had this strange feeling that there was a message. Like, not as strong as that one I just told you about, the one about, you know, yelling at me to get out, I'm not wanted here. But it was a clear message like, you don't belong here, human. You don't want to witness this. We don't want to hurt you. They were not words, but the feelings translate to that as far as I can explain. So I started pedaling really, really fast. Didn't want to judge it. Didn't want to examine it. Didn't want to risk it. I know these cats were not evil. I'm sure of that. I haven't met many animals who are. I have, but very few. These cats were concerned. They had some kind of rare meeting going on, or were going to have one. And if I had stuck around for too long, they would have had to hurt me. You know, kind of like it's the law. We have to make sure we don't have any witnesses. I don't know what that was about still today, decades later. But it's always fascinated me, that whole thing about cats having a secret life. Some will say it's just your imagination, but I was fully awake. It was like 6 p.m., And again, I love cats, I love dogs, I love all pets, and they usually love me back, so I'm still not afraid of cats. I just don't want to mess with their secret life if I can avoid it. So that was the strange cat story. Well, that same night, actually, I went to that other friend's place, and I closed the door right behind me, and I told him about what happened. And we just, instead of video games that night, we just told each other the scariest ghost stories we could remember. And the guy whose house it was could not sleep for a week. He was angry at me for having started that whole thing. So that's how powerful storytelling can get for you. So there you go, three stories and one for tonight. I'll call back or send in more stories for you. Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so pleasant and non-threatening for those of us who have not always been able to share these stories with regular folks. Have a good night, Matthew in Montreal.
I love Matthew in Montreal stories.
I love, he almost acts them out. And you know what he does? He's our listener that makes puppets.
Okay, okay.
And these are like, oh my God, amazing. Mm-hmm. I've saw pictures of some of the ones he made.
Yeah.
And I can see, I could hear, you know, some of that coming through when he tells the stories. And yeah. I wondered, though, when he was first talking about the cats.
Mm-hmm.
If something hadn't maybe attached to him that the cats were being drawn to, and that's why they were coming out.
I don't know. That's the cat story is like one of those. I don't even know what to make of it. Yeah. It's I don't doubt it whatsoever. I'm just like, I'm still kind of absorbing it because mm-hmm. it's not like anything we've had before.
No.
Where that aspect, and I'm not going to do my typical I'm going to make inappropriate cat jokes because that's mm-hmm. too easy. I'm really like just trying to absorb the concept of what's going on there because it seems like it's some sort of messaging thing going on.
Yeah.
That really is rather supernatural. So sorry if you're expecting me to jump in with cats and I don't know what I'd do with it.
No.
I have plenty of ideas, but I won't. But that it's, yeah.
Very unique.
It is.
But I'm glad that he didn't end up having to live in that house from the first part of his story.
Yeah.
I mean, if something's that forceful upon your first mm-hmm. encounter, then that's definitely not going to ever improve.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. Please do continue to share your stories with us. We greatly... I just love how he acts them out.
Mm-hmm.
His emotion in the story is so real. And he's able to really just tell the story, set the scene, put you in the setting and make you feel like you're there. And it doesn't hurt the fact that he recorded the audio on his iPhone or smart device.
Yeah.
And in the back, I heard crickets. I like literally turned our drone off because I'm like, his sound effects are better than mine.
Well, the first time he called in, he said it was 3 a.m. He was sitting on a park bench.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of helped with the ambiance, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm betting that's what it was with this, with the crickets.
Yeah, he really puts you there. Thank you for sharing that. We greatly appreciate your stories. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go over to another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Happy Halloween, Brewskis. I was calling in a story with you. My husband wrote in a while back, we're the ones who had a well on our property line that my eldest daughter had mono and had dreams about a man telling her about a well that was on our property line, the one that would ring the doorbell. We would have the doorbells ring around holidays. It still goes on. We still have the doorbells ringing very occasionally, maybe once every 3 or 4 weeks, all times of the day or night. It's very unnerving when it happens, but we just don't open the door if we're not expecting someone. So anyway, I wanted to share a quick story with you guys. Like I said, or like my husband had said in a story that he had written in a while ago, we have three kids. Our oldest one now is 17. We have a middle one that's 11. And then our youngest one is almost 3 years old. So the little one is still home with me during the day while the other two are at school and while my loving husband goes and earns the bacon to support us. So we also have three cats, and they range from very, very old, where one is about to kick the bucket, to one that's about 3, and we have a new kitten that's about, I would say she's about 6 months old at this point. So this starts in our upstairs area. That seems to be where we do have a lot of activity in our house. It seems to happen during the day, which I think is odd. My two older kids share a bathroom, and the way the bathroom is set up, you can walk into it from my son's bedroom on one side, and then there's a door where it opens on the other side from my daughter's bedroom. And my husband calls it the Brady Bunch bathroom, and I think it's the way the doors are. Maybe in the Brady Bunch, that's how the boys and the girls could each get in the bathroom, but that's how their bathroom is set up there. Mostly my daughter's in it, and my son is rarely in it unless he's forced to take a shower or bath. So one day I was in there picking up, doing, you know, because they both throw their clothes on the floor. We have hampers in each of their rooms, but they don't like to use them. But they enjoy throwing their clothes on the floor for me to pick up during the day. So I was in there picking up the clothes, and the kitten that we have that's about 6 months old, she stays in my daughter's room quite a bit. And let me start by saying this, her bathroom door is closed all the time, where my son's door to go from his side of the bathroom into his room is always open, because I don't think he cares about privacy yet, where my daughter, my older daughter's door is always closed. So I was picking up clothes, and there was some paper on the floor that had fallen out of my daughter's pocket. And I went to grab the paper, and I saw a little paw, you know, come through the door. The kitten must have noticed that I was cleaning and thought we were playing. So I saw her little paw, and it was so cute. You know, she's playing while I'm trying to do laundry, and she's trying to pull the paper to the other side. So I thought it was cute, and I sat there for a couple, teased her through the door. A couple days later, I'm doing the same thing. As you can tell, I do laundry a lot when you've got three kids, and I'm doing the same thing. This time it's a sock, and the sock pulled through the other side of the door. I did not see a paw, so I opened the door to get the sock from out of my daughter's room. There is no kitten to be found. In fact, I turn and look, and she's standing in the bathroom watching me, behind me. I don't think it was one of the other cats, but I thought that was so odd, whatever pulled it. And when it pulled through with a lot of force, which, you know, I could assume a kitten would do that, but I thought that was so unusual. And in that same day, I grounded my daughter, and so she was not allowed to bring her cell phone to school with her that day. And all of us listen. Well, I shouldn't say all of us. My older one loves your show. My sister loves your show. I love your show. My husband is forced to listen to your show on the weekends. We listen to the EPP episode together. And I was upstairs in my bedroom, and I heard her phone come on, and I'm thinking, well, that's odd. And it was one of your episodes, your podcast just came on out of the blue. So I don't know if she had a timer set on it. I don't know what was going on, but I think I'll have my husband write in and share more of his stories, because it seems to pick on him a lot. He's got one incident where he was in his study doing some work before he went to work, because he works at home too. And he's got a bookshelf that faces one side of the wall, and all of a sudden all of these books just started coming out at him. And my middle child actually saw it happening, and he said it was like an invisible hand was taking the books out one by one and just kind of flinging them out of the bookshelf. I didn't see it, but my husband is very, very skeptical, laughs at everything, seems to always find an explanation for what happens to him. So those are our little stories, and I love your show, and happy Halloween to you guys and all your listeners. Take care. Bye-bye.
That sounds just like Ghostbusters with the books flying off the shelves.
It does.
That's great.
It's like then you walk through there and there's like little slime dripping down from the card catalog.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of those funny things in Ghostbusters where when you watch it now, the original Ghostbusters, when you watch it with kids,
mm-hmm.
like, what is that? What are those drawers with those cards?
Oh, yeah.
And really, that goes back quite a ways because card catalogs, we were at the tail end of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we were kids when I, at least in my library, when they finally got rid of them. I think, I don't know, fifth grade, fourth grade?
Yeah, I think so.
About the time they went away?
Mm-hmm. I remember my elementary school had a card catalog, but my middle school didn't. And I changed mm-hmm. over to middle school at sixth grade.
Yeah.
So right about then was, I guess, when they did away with it. I don't know if the middle school just had more technology.
Then we had the computers to search for everything. Mm-hmm. But then it was DOS and very basic as well.
Right.
And sometimes you wanted to go back to the card catalog. I remember actually being taught how to use it. It was like mm-hmm. like something they taught you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't, I don't remember to this day exactly how to do it.
It's the Dewey Decimal System.
Is that how it worked?
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, because then the sides of the, and that's still in place. Because
mm-hmm.
they just gives you, in a physical library, it gives you the decimal point of where you're looking.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have to find the shelf, and
yeah.
so you still have to use that part. It's just where you're finding that number is different. I've been in a library in like 15 years, so
you need to go.
I love libraries.
Yeah.
I really do. I just haven't gone to one. Where we were in Wichita, they weren't the safest sometimes, or you were afraid that you're going to walk home with bed bugs because literally they shut it down a couple times
to fumigate.
Yeah, so that I didn't really want to go in there. But here, I'd love to go try it. And mm-hmm. I know you were looking it up for Harp the other day. For some,
story time, yeah.
Yeah, I had so much. I loved the library as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely loved it. I really would love to get in there and check it out again. When I was like 18, that's where I would rent videos because I didn't have any money to go to Blockbuster. Or any,
sure.
It was like, libraries, great. And they had great selection. I love documentaries too, and library, that's where you're going to find the best.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, of course, before Netflix, before all of that. I would sit there and watch like World War II documentaries and the century, and it was good stuff. Anyway, 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over to, how about Karen in Chicago? You're on the show.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. It's Karen from Chicago. I wrote in a couple times already. Last time I wrote to you about my aunt who had a haunted mattress in Mexico, where weird things started happening, and even my dad, who's a super skeptic, saw a woman in the house when he stayed over. So I know, Tony, you asked me where my aunt had received that mattress from, and funny enough, she was telling me that she received it from my grandma. Which is her mother-in-law, and I know they haven't gotten along very well, so take that for what that is. Anyway, so I was calling because I had one of the most terrifying experiences of my life. I've never been this terrified, never been this panicked before. So my mom, my aunt, my cousin, and I decided to do a haunted tour here in Chicago. We went to all these haunted places. Everything was perfectly fine. However, the meetup and the drop-off place was at the Congress Plaza Hotel. And my mom worked there for about a week. And she couldn't keep working there. You know, not only were the working conditions horrible, but she experienced some weird stuff. And other people who had been working there also had said things that they experienced. So anyway, for a very long time, I thought that my spidey senses weren't working. I know I have mentioned in the past that I believe I'm an empath. I'm pretty sensitive to anything that happens anywhere where I live. And I have been experiencing a couple of things in my new apartment, which I'll write in later about. But anyway, at the Congress, my mom, my cousin, and my aunt and I, we decided to go to the fourth floor. There is the room 441, which is the most haunted room in the hotel. So we decided to go check it out. So we go up there and we hear some TV coming from the room and a do not disturb sign. So we just assumed someone was staying there. So we decided to head out, and we were going to go to the 12th floor because there's another room over there that is also supposed to be really haunted. Anyway, so we did. So we're on the 4th floor, and I call the elevator. When I call the elevator, my cousin said, "Oh, hey, weren't we going to take the stairs all the way to the 12th floor?" I was like, "Oh, yeah, you're right." So then we decided to take the stairs. Mind you, this entire time, you had kind of like a weird feeling there, but, you know, ignored it. I thought, maybe I'm just spooked because of what, you know, the history of the hotel and that it's haunted. So as we're going up the stairs, we went up, we just made it up to the 9th floor, or actually I should say I only made it up to the 9th floor, because I got up to the 5th floor and I noticed that the elevator doors had opened and then they closed. And these elevators don't close silently, it's like a bang every time that they close. So I turned around and I noticed it, but I figured, oh, you know, maybe somebody called it, somebody is just going upstairs. So we kept walking. At some point, I ended up a little ahead from everyone else, from the four of us. And I noticed that every time I got at the top of the stairs, the elevator would open and then it would close. I noticed this and I kind of tried brushing it off. So I went down one floor to meet up with the three of them. And I get to that floor and the elevators on that floor just open and they close. And as we were going up the stairs on each floor, every time the four of us got at the top of the stairs, the elevators would just open and close. So it was as if the elevators were following us, or maybe following me, because, you know, like I said, it had open and closed when I went ahead, and then it opened and closed when I went downstairs. So this was happening, and as we're going up the stairs, not only are the elevator doors opening and closing, but I'm starting to get this horrible, horrible feeling. Each floor we're going up, it was this feeling that whatever was there made it very clear that I needed to get out. I was feeling sick. I just was feeling this dread, terror, and there was no reason for me to feel that terror. I don't know what was happening. I don't know why I was feeling it, but it was getting worse and worse and worse with every floor that we were climbing. Finally, we were making it up to the 9th floor, and it got to a point where I could not feel it. I couldn't stand it anymore. I needed to get out there. I couldn't get out of there fast enough. I felt like this panic, and I was just feeling, it's really hard to explain. It's like whatever was there just wanted me to get out. So I just remember saying, "I can't do this. I need to go." And my mom, she looked at me. She was like, what's happening? What do you feel? What's going on? And I just turned around and I started running down the stairs. So the three of them got very confused and they followed me because I guess my reaction scared them. And I'm just running down the stairs, and as I'm running down the stairs, I'm feeling like someone is chasing me down, like as if someone is running right behind me, even though the three of my aunt, my cousin, and my mom are probably one flight upstairs behind me. And I was so torn between running out of there as quick as I could, but at the same time not wanting to be in those stairs by myself and that staircase by myself. So finally I get to the second and the third floor, and I notice that all the rooms on those two floors are just completely closed. They're closed out. And I find this weird, I find this eerie, and it just creeps me out even more. And I'm getting super nauseous at this point. I'm almost gonna throw up. I'm getting really weak. I'm still feeling horribly just sick and terrified and panicked. And finally, I make it to the first floor, and I'm just like, oh, okay, so I can breathe now. I'm getting better. I'm in the lobby. And then I notice the tour guide, the haunted tour guide, and my mom, you know, my mom, my aunt, my cousin, they finally meet me downstairs. They're like, are you okay? What's going on? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. And then they also notice the tour guide, and they're like, go talk to him. Maybe he knows what's going on in that staircase in the hotel. It's like, okay. So I go up to the guy, and I ask him if he knows anything about the hotel, any haunted stories. And so he starts telling us about a bunch of different stories that you can definitely check online, because it's one of the most haunted hotels in Chicago. And he was telling us that, and this was even before I even mentioned the staircase or our experience or anything, he was telling us that there's a staircase, and he was referring to the staircase in which we were on, where a lot of people have reported to feel sick, and an uneasy feeling. And he said, and if you go into the second and third floor, you'll see a bunch of closed doors or a bunch of closed rooms. And what happened was that a lot of the times these rooms would get just so much activity that the hotel just decided to close them off permanently. And no one is allowed to stay in those rooms anymore. And then I finally told him of our experience. I'm like, oh, you know, well, this happened with the elevator doors. And then he's like, you know, I think that the elevator was following you because you called it. And many, many years ago, when the hotel was just built, there used to be a man who would operate the elevator. You would just call the elevator and tell him what floor you wanted to go on, and then he would operate it for you. So that's why he thinks that maybe what had happened was that since I called the elevator on one of the floors, he was following us to see if we still wanted the elevator, which is kind of funny in hindsight. But oddly enough, he says that we are the first people to tell him anything about those elevators. Like, no one has ever had an experience with the elevators. My mom told me after the fact that she still wants to spend a night at the hotel and we should book a room. I personally don't want to. I told her that she can go and stay with whoever it is that she wants to stay there, but I just got a very, very clear message that night that whatever was there does not want me. I am not welcomed in that hotel at all. And it was, I don't know if maybe because I'm sensitive, I felt it the most out of the group of us, out of the four of us, but it was horrible. I will never step foot in that hotel again. But there are a lot of stories. My mom, as a housekeeper, would tell me that she was going to a closet to get some linen for one of the rooms, and they used to have this door stopper that would get really stuck. So it was kind of hard for the door to just close on itself when you put the stopper on. And so she went into this closet to get some linens, and then all of a sudden the door just closes on her. And so she got scared and she ran out of there. She also told me about another occasion in which one of her coworkers was cleaning a mirror in the bathroom. And as she's cleaning the mirror in the bathroom, she sees two little kids in the mirror. She turns around and no one's there. There have also been accounts of floor, I just can't remember which floor it is, where all of a sudden all the TVs in the floor will turn on and then you'll hear laughter in the hallway. And that is supposed to be a Cook County judge who used to stay there, and he would like to play pranks on the people who would stay on his floor, and then you would just hear him laughing. He used to do that when he was alive, and I guess he just enjoyed it too much that now even in death he's still doing it. And finally, there's another account of there is a ballroom where sometimes you'll hear an organ and rollerblades. And it's because I think it was in the 20s, they would have these parties in which an organ would be playing and people would be rollerblading. So that still is heard sometimes at night. Anyway, I know this has been kind of long, but I will call in again or write to you about different things that have happened, like in my apartment where I am right now, and I'm by myself, and of course I'm telling this scary story, but I'm gonna watch some Trevor Noah or something to kind of distract me before I have to go to bed. But yeah, I love your guys' show. If you guys are ever in Chicago, definitely check out the Congress Plaza. It's a really creepy hotel. I'm never gonna go in there again. And I know that since that day, I have been very uneasy, and I feel like I'm even more sensitive to any place that I'm in. I'm on edge a lot, and I am more sensitive as to feeling whenever someone or something is in a room. And I know I hadn't had anything happen to me for a while, and I don't know if it had just been dormant. My empathic abilities have just been dormant for a while, and it took that to just wake it up. I don't know what's going on, but yeah, definitely if you guys are here, check it out. But yeah, you know, I love your guys' show, and keep it up. I listen to you guys every day. I love your show. All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
I think my word of wisdom for anybody that just heard that story is to do exactly what she did when you feel that way and leave. Always, always follow your gut, whether you're sensitive or not. You might be sensitive and not even know it.
Mm-hmm.
But something was definitely going to attack her. And I think that it's a good story to just keep in the back of your mind when you do some of those ghost tours, mm-hmm. especially if you think you may be sensitive, you know.
Like this feels beyond the tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good news. I just booked us a stay so we can.
Good. Good deal.
I'm kidding.
I know.
I'm pretty sure they weren't rollerblading in the 20s.
No.
Roller skating, though.
I don't know when roller skating came around.
I think that was around then. Okay. That's been around for quite a while. The rollerblading. When did rollerblading officially start?
That was like in the 90s.
What was the official? Let's just do a little guess. I'm sure you're pretty damn close, but I'm just curious, like, when was the first official rollerblade? Give me your official guess.
Well,
and I'll give you my guess.
I'm sure it's one of those things where it's like, oh, actually, rollerblading was around since like the 70s, but
in some obscure
form. It didn't take off in popularity till like the mid-90s or some kind of bullshit like that.
The company was started by Scott Olson and Brenda Olson. Okay. First to manufacture inline skate.
Rollerblade is like the technical, or not the technical, but like
the
brand.
The fun word.
But it's like Band-Aid for bandage.
But an inline skate is a rollerblade?
Yes.
1981.
Okay, see? I told you.
There you go.
But it didn't become like a household thing till what? Like 1994?
It doesn't give that. It just says like where it... they're still around, I believe. Let's see if that was still what... It's still an active website, I believe. You can still rollerblade away. I've never rollerbladed in my life.
You would be good at it because you can ice skate.
Yeah, you know, I always thought that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't roller skate to save my life. I was the kid that was hugging the wall.
Yeah.
At the Spectrum. That was the name of our roller rink. I was, you know, I would pull myself because, you know, the carpeted walls.
Oh, yeah.
And thank God for the carpet,
mm-hmm.
because I could kind of like, and it was like somewhat shaggy carpet. So I could kind of like grab onto the fibers, and that would help me move along the wall a little bit as other, you know, skaters went by me. And I'd do like a round, and then I'd go back and I'd go play. God, I don't know what even video games they were back then. But I remember like one where it was like a spaceship. It was kind of 3D-ish and you'd fly through the air. It was great. But the Spectrum did have one creepy ass thing.
What?
Besides the fact that I couldn't roller skate and injured my hand, my arm many times by having it run over.
Mm-hmm.
They had one of the Rockafire explosion characters from a Showbiz Pizza. And this was, it was the cheerleading mouse.
Okay.
And our listeners who grew up in the 80s, probably familiar with Showbiz Pizza, later became Chuck E. Cheese.
or taken over by Chuck E. Cheese. And The Rock, it still exists, that show does. It's not anywhere near what it was back in those days. These were very animated characters. They were like Disney-esque. And they really animated. But this was one that I'm guessing either was a dud or was replaced at one of the showbiz pizzas in the 80s. And somehow this roller rink got their hands on it. And it didn't really work quite correctly. It was almost like it had a stroke.
Oh, geez.
I'm not even kidding.
It's horrible.
And I'm not making fun of a stroke victim by any means. I mean, I have family members, I have good friends who've suffered from that. That's horrible. But that's the only way I can describe it.
Okay.
As far as, you know, what this thing looked like.
Mm-hmm.
It was like half of its body just didn't work.
Okay.
Or didn't quite work.
Uh-huh.
So, again, not making light of that condition whatsoever, but that's the only way I can describe this robot. It was like half of it really functioned the way it should, almost too good, and then the other half just kind of moved. And it didn't quite move correctly to the beat of anything. Like, it was just weird. It's like, don't even have... It was more scary to the children than it was. Like, ooh, yay, look at the one weird rogue. Wasn't even the star of the Rock of Fire explosion. It's like waving one pom-pom and the other one's over here. So it was sad and creepy. There was a roller rink. It was kind of a creepy roller rink, but...
All of them are kind of creepy.
You know, I don't... Was it because the 80s, it was already kind of a dying thing? And
yeah.
And that really... That we were beyond their heyday? Is that why they were... Because, I mean, I went to one in... I think it was West Bend when I was a kid, with like or whatever was the equivalency of Boy Scouts. And it was really nice. It was actually a fairly nice, well-kept roller rink. I was really kind of amazed, thinking, oh my gosh, it's clean in here and the video games function and there's not a weird Rock of Fire explosion thing over here. But any other one I'd ever went into in any other city was like, what happened? It was like apocalyptic. Sometimes.
So we stopped going to roller rinks after I had a little incident. I was about 13 and I was pretty good on my rollerblades.
Yeah.
And there was this employee there and he was like just your weird, creepy, you're too old to be working in a roller rink guy.
Yeah.
And he like kept following me around, wouldn't leave me alone, to the point where my aunt and my uncle were with us. My uncle had to go up and tell him he was going to beat the shit out of him if he didn't leave me alone. And that was the end of roller rinks for us. And so I
that was the
just,
end of roller
yeah,
rinks.
Yeah. I was just like, oh, that's great.
Well, that's a special story.
Good times, right?
The more you know.
Yeah.
I have not been in a roller rink forever. I wonder what they're like today. Because, like I said, we were at the end of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if there's been like kind of a revival back, you know, like how retro come. They weren't retro yet. It was more just like depressed. We've never kept up with anything at that point in time. I'm wondering if now it's like how bowling alleys had a revival.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them is like now it's like, oh, look, the big, wonderful bowling alley and they're modern and they're great. I wonder if any roller rinks have done that, that still exist, if you can find one.
I don't know. I know there's one here in town. We ought to just go. Just
I'm curious.
For fun.
I'm not going to skate. I can't do it.
I wonder if they'll have like a kids skate night. They still do that with the schools.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
be interesting.
Liv used to go. She'd hug the wall like you.
I don't blame her.
Yeah.
I'm never going to judge the children that are hugging the wall because it's either I think you got it or you don't when it comes to roller skating.
That's where I discovered Spree. Best candy ever.
Really?
At a roller rink.
I always just like the nachos.
Different roller rink, not the pedophile roller rink.
Not the pedophile. Come here, little girl. I got some Spree for you.
Yeah, that's not how that went.
Let's go to the Rock and Fire explosion in the corner.
Oh, God.
Going to sing some songs for you.
Bad time.
Oh, good times. There you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. Sign up for a full year, and you can get a free month out of that and a bunk bed bell. You got to claim it by emailing bunkbedbell at realghoststoriesonline.com. And let me know you sign up for a year membership, and I'll get that out to you when you send me your address. All the info at ghostpodcast.com. Ghostpodcast.com. Sign up to be an EPP and help keep us on the air. By the way, new episode of Seeing Ghosts up as well. Episode 10 of that posted now, so check that out as well. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Skate safe.